I'm Dari Noka.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. Good evening, and welcome to this entertaining round of golf conversation on 1500 ESPN. Next on the tee, this is the 603 pairing from Bloomington, Joe Stansberry. And from Minneapolis, Craig Tyken.
Welcome aboard, golfers. Another beautiful day for playing the game. Hot and humid. The ball is traveling a long ways up here. I was lucky enough this last week, Joe, to go to the disgraceful and horrible Hiawatha golf course where nobody goes, and they should close it down. Oh, wait. I couldn't find a parking spot. People were triple parked in the parking lot. Teed off at 7:30, got nine holes in. The full moon over the lake. Nice. Course is in great shape.
Play the back or the front?
Played the front nine. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. The range was packed. Practice area, practice green. The whole place was sold out. So that away, Hiawatha is looking good. Minneapolis is out supporting it. And
nah, let's spend $30 million and turn it into a sustainable farm.
Yeah.
Like we don't have enough farms in Minnesota.
Yeah, we got plenty of farms. But it was great. You know, and they did repair the parking lot a couple of years ago. That parking lot was one of the worst parking lot. They should have had a Midas right next door. They should have opened a Midas right next to the parking lot there before, because you could have gotten a lot of traffic. As soon as you pull in there, you know you need new shocks or you need a new ball joint or something. But the parking lot's better and the course is in great shape. All the trees cut down, the grass is growing great. All the water we've had, a little standing water, but not much. And I know they're pumping a lot of water that just keeps getting repumped and recirculated, but we'll have meetings about that.
Yep.
So it was great to see.
Good.
And went out to Como, and we'll talk about Como in the second segment tonight. Como Golf Course, beautiful Como Park in St. Paul, and some developments with St. Paul Golf over the last couple of years. So we'll talk to Don over there.
It's a beautiful area, isn't
it? It's just gorgeous.
They tried to emulate Como in Italy.
Yep.
You know, with all the gardens and all the different things, the conservatory, and they were smart. They put some money back into the golf course, and they hired an outside agency to run it.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Well, yeah.
If you're having a tough time, and I'm not saying Minneapolis, the guys working at Hiawatha or any of them are bad, but if you're concerned about making money, and you can hire an outside firm, and they'll pay you.
Yep.
They're motivated to make more money because they've got to pay you, and then anything over X they make. And they've got an arrangement with budgets about how much they put back into the golf course to maintain it, et cetera. So that'll be an interesting conversation with Don Sigelkow.
Yeah, and that was a good, the great greens there. Mm-hmm. Fantastic greens. It's a shorter course, par 70, but outstanding condition, you know, right but next to the zoo and the beautiful park, and Lexington Parkway winds through it. And it's a gorgeous part of St. Paul. And it was fun to play there again.
I just drove through it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good
Saturday night.
It's a good way to cross through town.
Mm-hmm. There, we ate at an all-you-could-eat sushi place just north of there.
Ooh.
I can't think of it. It's $25.
Ooh.
Unbelievable.
Really? You get that name for me because I like sushi.
I will.
So you went up north.
I was, yes. Well, we were both invited, but you had prior engagements.
Mm-hmm.
I went up to the grand reopening of Superior National, and I hadn't played it since literally was open for 2 months.
Okay.
Bud Chapman was involved with it then, and he was up there again. And so 95 years old, still trying to get better. Joe, come over here. Tell me what I'm doing wrong here. You know, I'm like,
you posted that video of him last winter on Facebook, and it's perfect.
Oh,
what a great golf swing.
Yeah.
He's 95.
He's got 3,753 rounds under his age. Now, they've all been documented. Now, he has the pro sign, the card, because somebody was complaining in the beginning, you know, well, you're just saying that.
Right.
So then, you know, because he's going to be in the Guinness record. So he'll probably miss like 400 or 500 of them because he couldn't verify it. I was like, okay, well, I told him just go back to the pros and say, yeah, I've seen him do it. He does it.
Yeah.
I'll sign a affidavit, you know. So that was good, and I was greatly impressed. And we're going to have Jeffrey Brower, who is the architect of that golf course.
Of the redesign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was originally a... I can't think.
Don Herford.
Yeah, Don Herford.
And then Joel Goldstrand
came in, and they spent $4.5 million to redo what they should have done in the beginning. Now, they had some budget issues and drainage issues and some other things, but they widened this nice, and they it's got some of the most dramatic golf holes you just can't imagine. You know, you've got that red iron, you know, creeks up there, and there's three of them that run through it, or maybe it's the same one. There's at least two, I think.
Yeah.
And you got waterfalls, and so first of all, so you got the aesthetic features outside of the golf course. Well, then he's got a couple of huge, got one, it's got to be 120-foot drop right over the Rushing Rapids Creek. Then he's got the par four that kind of goes around it, and he's got a great drivable par four, and it starts up and you're facing Lake Superior. Sadly, when we were there, there was fog on the lake.
Oh, so you couldn't see the lake.
It kind of broke up, but it was 97 here, it was 65, and it warmed up to 73. I should have stayed another day.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, it was really very enjoyable and reasonably priced. And so then I got the stay and play packages they're working on. So we'll have to have Heath back on again and talk about that. But yeah,
I'm gonna go up and see it again at the end of the month here, beginning of August. Make my annual trip up there.
4-hour drive. It's a nice, it's pretty. You got to go through Duluth and you just stay on 61. And I stopped at Betty's Pie on the way back.
What kind of pie?
I didn't have any pie.
Oh, no pie.
No, I had breakfast. Had a Eggs Benedict. It was wunderbar.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's Lutzen, the Superior National Golf Course, much improved, and the rates have not gone up, which is good. And the county put it together.
Yeah, Cook County.
Cook County owns the golf course, and a very good reinvestment into something that was kind of going down and was just too narrow and too tough and too much slope in the greens. And Jeffrey will talk about
that. The Nelson family donated the land, which is Cindy Nelson's parents, who's the Olympic skier from Lutzen. And so all of that land was donated, and that was a part of the process. They really made a plaque and, thanked them. They couldn't be there, but they were, they had written a nice statement about it and about giving back. And so they didn't, the county got the land for free.
Okay.
And then, they kept trying to update it. So
nice. It's nice to be talking about good things. And speaking of good things, we'll be speaking with Don from Como when we get back. Como Golf Course in lovely St. Paul. You're listening to Tee Time on 1500 ESPN from the TCL Broadcast Studios. We'll be back.
Tee Time.
What is all this?
It's golf. Okay. Thank you.
On 1500 ESPN.
Welcome back to Tee Time. I'm Craig Tyken with Joe Stansberry, and Don Sigelko is joining us now, the manager of Como Golf Course and part of the group that took over from the city of St. Paul in running the golf course. How many years ago did your group take over, and what does your group consist of, Don?
This is our fifth year, Craig, so we've been at it 5 years. And I have Tim Kiebelbeck as a partner in our company. And Bill and Tom Gibbon are the other two partners.
And you guys are partnered up with Prom Catering on the food end of things?
Yeah, they've helped out on the food end, but right now Tom and Bill Gibbons are really just financial partners with us. We do our own.
Is that
food
the center. Wendy's Gibbons?
No, it's the Prom Center.
Okay.
Back on back in St. Paul on University Avenue.
Yep.
Way back, yeah.
And so you went in with a bid because the city of St. Paul was trying to get out of golf and maybe even, pave Paradise and put up a parking lot, correct, at Como?
There was a lot of angst, I think, over the Como issue, whether they were going to expand parking for the zoo into the golf course. But ultimately, it was really the they were losing $500,000 between Como and Phelan. And our proposal basically took them off the hook for the losses, and they get 4% of our gross revenues, guaranteed.
So they're out of losing any money, and they just, no-brainer for them. So now you got in 4 years into it, and you just re-upped on your deal, correct?
We got a 10-year extension, which I think shows the confidence that the mayor and the council have in what we've been doing. It's been a great partnership, and I think, you know, to be honest, I think it's just really hard for municipalities to compete with a seasonal business like a golf course operation. So
what makes your plan more successful than a government? Why are you making money on something they were losing $500,000?
I think the biggest difference is we have a lot fewer full-time employees, because if you think about a golf course, we're open about 7 months out of the year, and really we have a peak season of about 4.5 months. So it's not a year-round type of deal, and so we have very few full-time employees. Our part-time employees are retirees and students predominantly, and they're looking for summer work. They aren't looking for a career, and you know, they're happy with getting paid a decent wage and being able to go out and play golf.
Yeah, that's great. Let's talk about the golf course for a second. You said you're going to reinvest a bunch of money coming up, and what's your plans for what you're going to do with the course? I know 150 trees got out of there this last winter, and it opened it up more, and it looks great. What are your other plans coming forward?
Well, our contract commits us to investing $400,000 over the next few years into both golf courses, so $200,000 a golf course. And Phelan, it's really going to be bunkers. They have a lot of bunkers. They've been ignored for a long time. Tim Kiebelbeck manages Phelan. He's talked to the men's club and the women's club and a lot of the golfers. And the kind of the biggest complaint they have is the condition of the bunkers. At Como,
are you hiring out, or you got Hartman coming in, or
We've used Hartman in the past. I think Tim does a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of what he's going to do is take out some of the bunkers. They have a lot of bunkers over at Phelan.
Yeah, there's too many.
Yeah, there's way too many.
Well, so one of my biggest complaints is, if they have too many bunkers, then a lot of them are on the right side. And if you're a right-hander and a hack, where do you miss it? You're slicing it into a, and then you're double penalizing them. So I'm for, you know, longer left side bunkers unless it's necessary to protect an out of bounds
catching
or
bunker.
You're
right.
But even that, nothing wrong with a grass bunker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have a few of those as well.
Right.
He's going to convert.
Maintain the shape and just have some grass in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Although, Joe, have you ever found a bunker before?
Yeah, they've found me plenty of times. You know, I used to hit them over them. Now, you know, now I understand why the guy put him at that yardage.
Hey, we're on with Don Siglico from Como Golf, who has helped with his private group take over from the city of St. Paul 4 or 5 years into it now, extended another 10 years. And you're reinvesting in the golf course. The city's off the hook. Just makes a profit off the place now. Let's talk about Como now. You're going to do a bunch of cart path work, which is long overdue, right? Which is
Some drainage. You know, we got some drainage issues on 8 and 9. You guys were out there the other day.
Yep.
We found a newfound spring that never had been a wet area until all the wet weather the last 4 years.
Okay.
And now we've got a spring that we're going to have to deal with. So we're going to do an improvement there where we feed a kind of a mostly dry riverbed, but wet when it needs to be, into that pond in front of 8.
Okay.
And then we're gonna put in a lift station to take that water out and put it in the pond over by Lake Como. And then we're going to do cart paths, and our irrigation system is one of the mechanical clock types, so we're going to update that as well. So good improvements. I think both courses will, you know, the golfers will notice the difference. And, you know, I think the issue when the city was losing money, it becomes a downward spiral. You can't, when you're losing money, you can't reinvest. And so the course conditions go down. And I think with this change, we're reinvesting. The city's putting money into the clubhouses for us, about $60,000 a year. And I think the outcome is we're getting better facilities. The city has a better facility for the long term. And I think our customers are really happy with
all right. Have you thought about expanding your business?
You know, we're always open to that. Tim and I are both kind of municipal golf guys. We both come from the Minneapolis
right.
Park Board.
Well, that's so, where I'm going, right?
Yeah. Well, we'd love to go work with those guys again. We think the Minneapolis courses could follow the same model, but it's really a decision they have to make to go forward with that. But even, you know, some of the inner ring suburban courses like in Bloomington and such would be
sure.
areas we think we could help. Yeah.
Well, that's good. It's a good start. I'm just glad that Como is saved. And one of the great deals you have out there is you have almost every day is the, was it $29 for the seniors to ride and play?
$28.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for
we
seniors.
A lot of senior play.
Yeah. It's a great course.
Yeah. What's your yardage? What's the maximum?
At Como?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm 51, 52, something like that.
Par 70.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's perfect senior.
Yeah.
You're a junior.
It is.
Or women.
Almost everybody.
Correct.
I think everybody fits Como, to be honest with
sure.
you. And you're right. The greens make it very, very challenging. They reward a good short game. And it's just a fun course. Really a fun course,
and it's beautiful in that park. So way to go, Don. We really appreciate it. Be out there to play it again soon. And
I haven't played it in years. I'll have to go out.
Yeah, you have to for sure. And continued good work. And I'll go out to Phelan as well and want to see that project with the bunkers. And continued success to you.
Appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Don.
All righty, you bet.
Right. Don Siegelkow.
I like a good story.
Yeah.
That's a promising thing, and that's what needs to happen in Minneapolis, to be honest. They're so,
well, any of these,
they're so loaded down.
The problem is, I know Bloomington's issue, you know, they've had, you know, park grass cutters on the salary for over 25 years.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they've got to do their, you know, because they're state employees or city employees, you know, it's just... When you make this change, like you said, you just reduce your salary immensely.
Right.
And now you can put the money back into the course. It doesn't necessarily mean you lose service. In fact, you might gain service.
Well, and then they could do it without raising prices. For years, they just kept raising the prices of these city courses.
Yeah,
a lot of people are like, come on, that's not, you know, go play Como for $28 with a card if you're a senior.
Correct.
And that's value.
Right.
That's good.
See, and I wouldn't mind if they give if you're a resident,
right?
St. Paul resident, give them $3 off. Minneapolis, if it's a Minneapolis course, give them some sort of a resident. Braemar does that. If you're an Edina resident,
right?
You buy a resident patron card, and you get a discount every time because your taxes are there in that city,
right?
So those are the things that. We've talked about.
Yeah, we'll talk about more at the end of the hour, too. But we have Jeffrey Brower on next.
Jeffrey Brower, noted architect, and he did the golf course up at Superior National. So I'm excited to have a good discussion. He's in rush hour in Dallas. He lives in Arlington in DFW area. So
good luck to him.
All right, we'll be back here in the TCL studios when we return.
You're listening to Tea Time with Joe Stansberry.
Oh, fine show.
And Craig Tykin.
Who the hell's my nine iron
at? On 1500 ESPN.
Jeffrey Brower, did you get out of the rush hour in DFW?
I did. I'm safely off to the side of the road.
Well, thanks for making us a priority. You certainly made Superior National a priority. It was very much enjoyable. You know, it's still got some growing in. You know, they don't have a great growing season, but from a playability, I thought you did a spectacular job.
Well, I appreciate that. We actually, as I get older, I have started to make my golf courses a little bit easier and shorter, and Superior National is part of that trend. Golf should be fun, that's for sure.
And wider.
Yeah, well, we tried to widen that out as much as we possibly could. It was a really narrow course before and also had some cross slopes in the fairway. Golfers complained they couldn't even, you know, hold the shots in the fairway, so we fixed all of that.
And you had a major redesign where you took two holes and made one.
Yeah, on the River Nine, they had a 3-4-5 combo, and we changed it to a 5-4-3 that fit the land better, and the tree clearing when we changed those holes gave us one more view of Lake Superior. That's always big. Although the big thing about Superior National is, you know, you got Pebble Beach, and once you get off the ocean holes, it's kind of blah. The thing about Superior National is the holes you have the view of the lake you think would be the prettiest holes, but you get off that and you get down to the Poplar River and the Roaring Rapids, and it's even prettier when you don't have a view of the lake.
And unfortunately, when we were there, they had the fog on the lake, but you could see where it was. But in that drivable par four, I think it's probably, I would say it might be the signature, unless it be the par threes with the rapids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that is a good one. And I played with my associate there, and he said he'd done a 3D rendering of the thing. He said, hey, it looks just like our rendering. So, it was an awkward hole before where it kind of hit down to about that pond, and then it was a par five, and looked just like it, the green ought to sit by that pond, and then the next hole ought to be a par three. So kind of modeled after, I think it's old seven at Hazeltine. I know they've switched the nines around. I remember playing there years ago.
Sure.
Kind of a horseshoe green around the pond. I thought, well, let's pay a little homage to Mr. Jones on that one.
Yeah, that it does have that flavor. Very nice. Now, what else have you done in Minnesota? We know you did the two up in
Giants Ridge and the Wilderness,
Owabic.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's the only ones that have gotten built. You know, I've done some studies and whatever, but, you know, money gets hard to come by for golf, you know, some of these courses. So, but that's a pretty good portfolio. I tell people if you go up to see Giants Ridge or Fortune Bay and now Superior National and you don't like them, then, well, you probably shouldn't be hiring me as an architect because it's about as good as I do.
Well, I think it's about as good as anybody does.
Yeah, so. Well, the Wilderness is my favorite of those three. You had that the width of that golf course is tremendous, and the amount of land that you had to work with. Talk about that project. How'd you get into that one?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, that was the basic thing right there because, you know, when we looked at the courses that had been built up there, they kind of did what we'd call in Texas a poor boy kind of effort, you know, two-row irrigation, and really then it's limited how far you can clear out the trees. So we decided to go 3- and 4-row irrigation and just give you some room to play. And, of course, the scale of the Wilderness is, you know, just twice of what, you know, the average course is. And, you know, it makes you go wow, especially that first tee, 600 yards, romping, stomping, 5-par with two fairways.
Yeah, that nice split fairway.
Yeah.
And it's all right in front of you.
Well, that has always been one of my design premises, especially on the resort course. Nobody likes a blind shot or a surprise where it doesn't react the way you want, especially if you're only going to go up there and play once a year. So I do like to lay it all right out in front of you.
And then with Superior National, now when did you start working on that project, and what was your first thought when you got there?
Well, you know, my first thoughts of Superior National, I remember the old pro, Greg Leland, and I had breakfast at Giants Ridge, really, 18, maybe 20 years ago.
Okay.
And he said, you know, you guys might have the shiniest new course, but we got the prettiest site in Minnesota. So that sort of intrigued me. And ever since I've been there, I want a chance to maybe remodel. Certainly the prettiest course in Minnesota, that's a great opportunity for any architect. So just kind of worked out about 2012. They started taking a look at the business prospects for the course. And, you know, as we started looking at that, the premise was pretty simple. It's such a special site. It needed a special course, and that's what we tried to give them.
And how long did it take you from the time you put the shovel in the ground?
Well, unfortunately, that was like August of 13. the weather pattern up there combined with the subsurface water and the mucky soils. I mean, every night at 6 o'clock, it seemed like it would rain and shut work down. So, each nine to two seasons of construction, to finish and grow in. So the river's been open a couple of years, but then, you know, we were hoping the canyon, would have opened last year, but of course it got put off till this spring. So that's 4 years. It's longer than normal.
Yeah, and it's up there, you know, from Minneapolis, it's a 4 hour drive. So your growing season is shorter also. So, but, no, it's fun. And you know, and I hadn't played it since way back, 25 years, like the first year it was open. And it wasn't enjoyable for me.
Courses do tend to fall off the map a little. I mean, there's been so much new courses and then renovations that, it needed to be freshened up. But again, it was just such a great opportunity.
Northland, which I'm sure you've visited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got a flavor of Northland, which is, you know, Donald Ross. But you go here and I think you've got more dramatic, with the waterfalls, and then you still combine that with the Lake Superior views. It's, it's worth the drive.
Well, it is. I mean, drive, maybe even a four iron to get there, but, you get the Lake Superior on your right side all the way up Bob Dylan's Highway 61 there, and getting there's half the fun, I think, as those old bus ads used to say. But we just tried to give it good golf holes. I mean, I think golfers still want to see good golf holes. It can't be all scenery, and that's kind of what we were charged to do. So, I mean, there's a lot of good holes out there, a lot of good holes.
So we're with Jeffrey Brower now. It's jeffreydbrower.com, right?
Yes,
And how do you spell your last name again? Just
Brauer, the German version.
Got it. So jeffreybrauer.com. Now, are you working on anything new now?
Well, we've just signed a new 18-hole out in St. George, Utah. That's kind of a booming area. And just on the way back, you called, and I said, yeah, I'm driving back. We're opening a new country club out near Kilgore, Texas, which is the site of the first oil boom, Spindletop and all that, about 1929.
Yeah, I know Kilgore. So, I played junior college golf in San Jacinto. I beat up Eddie Fiore, Phil Blackmore, Robert Thompson.
A lot of those Texas guys did end up making the tour. I mean, I went out there to a charity event and saw Homero Blancos and Marty Fleckman and a couple guys like that. Don January, nice. You haven't seen for a long time. So if you can play in Texas wind, you can play pretty much anywhere.
I played a Champions Tour event with Don January when he was 72, and I was 55, and he was still keeping it up with me. It was very impressive. Well, we'll let you get back. Back on the road, Jeffrey. We'll have you back on soon. Thanks for your time,
buddy. Appreciate it.
And thanks for your great design work up here. Appreciate it.
All right. To you later.
Okay. Yeah, those are some fantastic courses that he's worked on.
And it's got to be.
You go up there, spend 3 days, you're good.
Three of certainly the top 15 in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, public and private. They get ranked number one in public. You can argue that, still, they're certainly three of the top six public, probably top five public in the state.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, that's good. When we come back, we will talk about more Minnesota golf. You're listening to Tee Time on 1500 ESPN. Hey, go visit the Meadows. Experience perfection. Golf the Meadows at Mystic Lake.
Nice swing.
Tee Time with Joe Stansberry and Craig Tykin is on.
Can you mind give me some pointers here?
Yeah, sure. Don't talk in someone's backswing.
1500 ESPN.
Welcome back. Tee Time. All right, so once every 4 years, I get my 2 minutes of soccer talk. Those people that don't know, this will be my 30th season of coaching high school soccer. And I do not need to ever see another soccer game in my life. I can tell you that much. But this World Cup has been fantastic. Manny, you check out any of this World Cup?
I've been following it a little bit.
Okay.
Kind of casually, yeah.
Okay.
I'm a little bummed out that the two big stars in the world both got ousted over the weekend, Messi and Ronaldo.
Right.
But I think the better teams won both of those matches.
Yes, it did.
Well, but it at just least doesn't in have those quite games, the star yeah. power.
Right. Couple comments on the World Cup and why it's getting a lot better. It's more entertaining. And one thought is the ball. The ball that they use is so good right now that you can do so much with it. It's kind of like the advancement of the golf ball. Back when I was playing, you used to play this like half plastic Brian ball.
Slippery,
and it wouldn't go anywhere. And you couldn't bend it. Like the ball is amazing. You see the guys, they can punt it all the way down there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the ball has changed a lot. And then the surface that they're playing on.
The pitch looks perfect.
The pitch is perfect. The grass is soft, so the ball doesn't bounce. So it settles. But it's quick. And then it sits up. It's like a fairway.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. How thick is it? Is it like a fringe, which is shorter than the fairway, or
it's like a good fairway now.
Like Hazeltine's fairways?
Right. So most high school places you play at are fields growing up, we were playing out of rough.
Correct.
You know, and it used to be that way with these fields. So they're really firm and fast, and the ball sits up, and the ball is great. And then the athletes have become so much faster that the relative size of the field has shrunk. It's kind of like in football. You know, in the NFL, you never used to see D linemen making plays on the sideline. Now you'll see, you know, D tackles making plays on the sideline. Yeah, it's like
chasing down a running back in the middle.
Right. They're so much faster and bigger. The players are so fit and so fast, and the field has become relatively smaller. So the game has gotten a lot more exciting. Because before, you could just kind of sit back into it, and there was, you know, the field was so big, it was so much easier to defend.
Is that why scoring has gone down, too?
Scoring's gone up.
Has it gone up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Scoring's gone up.
Okay.
Except for Brazil. I think they've given up one goal, right?
Right. But, I mean, the scoring's still going to be low, but there's way more chances than there was in the World Cup, let's say, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Because of the athlete, the ball, and the turf.
Okay.
And it's
just
great.
Like golf.
Yeah. And the other thing that I love, it's true. It's very similar.
Yeah.
The thing I love about this tournament too, when they say the game starts at 9, it starts at 9. Exactly 9
around.
In the morning. It's not like the Super Bowl starts like at 5:42.
It's not like Royce's train ride.
Right.
I heard his the Japanese rant too today.
Yeah.
And it's true. When I played on the Asian tour, you know, getting on a bus, and it was like all the Japanese and some of the, you know, Asian guys, they would be like in your space trying to push the line to get in front, and or sometimes they'd even, you know, try and butt in front of you, and you're just like, buddy, you know, no, that doesn't work this way. they literally were touching you. Like, you just turn around. About the third time, I think they got it. So
give me my space.
But their trains run, they're like perfect.
Yeah.
I mean,
but this is the World Cup thing. That's what I love about it. Yesterday I was grabbing some food. I was like, oh, the game starts at 1. All right, get down.
Yeah.
Got down at 1:05 and there was 2 goals scored already.
It is amazing that it's amazing with all like the complaining that we've all kind of done with baseball and how, you know, baseball's still a great game, but how the games just take so long now. But these World Cup games, they're hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. And
it's between an hour and 45 and an hour. It's 2 hours max.
You factor in like the halftime.
Well, yeah, and that's the advantage the game has, and especially as a spectator sport. When you go to a college football game right now, for instance, I can't stand it. I love going for football. You're there for three. You hardly ever see a game.
Yeah.
There's so much commercial time. And the halftime is extended too long, and it's just, it's not fun. But you go to a soccer game, it's 2 hours.
The diving has gotten less prevalent. You know, they're still complaining. Yeah, you know,
Neymar today was ridiculous.
Yeah, and at least they got an instant replay where they could call the penalty.
And it works fast, too. Their replay system's better than any of the professional ones so far, and that's brand new, too. So the World Cup's been fun.
How do you guys feel about... Has golf changed at all in terms of like pace of play? Are guys starting to go from hole to hole a little bit faster, taking their shots a little bit faster, or is it still kind of the same as it's always been?
No, it's improved. They've put a lot more pressure. They've got a system intact where before they didn't have any way to warn the players or, you know, penalize them. Now they give them a warning. They give them an out of position warning if there's hole and a half or two holes, depends if it's a par three, par four, par five in front of them, then they're on the clock. And they got, once they get to their ball, they got 40 seconds or 30 seconds. Okay. And so they know when they're out of position that they've got to, and you can do it in a number of ways. You can walk faster. You know, you could approach it and get up to your shot, you know, and, you know, sometimes you just get out of position and
you run into trouble.
You allow, and you can allow a group behind you to go through, but no. And then it's a bad stigma. It's just as bad as this cheating thing that was going on with Kang. I didn't see it, but mm-hmm. I heard that, ball went in and they had to let a group go through because the guy said, well, no, it didn't, and you're cheating. And it was a big shout-out match. I didn't see it, but, if you get caught cheating on the tour, I mean, you're just blackballed. You're just chastised. Mm-hmm. And people don't even want to be around you. So
yeah, the pace of play thing,
is the second worst grievance.
Here's the problem I have with the pace of play with the PGA Tour. They play ridiculously slow. Mm. Okay? They're playing for all kinds of money. They're trying to shoot super low.
Yeah, they're still
playing in twosomes.
Yeah, but they're still playing 4 hours and 15 minutes.
That's for a twosome shooting 70?
Threesomes sometimes. Yeah. I understand.
Oh my God. The problem I have with it, not that they shouldn't do what they're doing, the effect it has on Joe 95 shooter, who's going to take as much time as Bryson DeChambeau on his putt. You know, these people that aren't very good that spend all kinds of time on their shots.
Well, did you see him not this leak with last week? He had a compass. He was like calculating with a protractor, one of those, like, what are you, they got a new fancy green. They put a couple of spots in the laser and then they do a computer readout on these greens. So they don't even have to think or trust, some people are doing the aim point, which you use your feet and do all this other stuff. Oh. I can't explain it. I know it works because there's enough guys, Adam Scott and some other people
on tour that are convincing themselves.
But they if some people just do not have the ability to read a green. It's an art form. And I consider myself one of the best that I play with guys all, tour guys. Myself. And I go, and I can hear him and the caddy talking, and they go, I think it's left edge. And that's good. Yeah, it's left edge. And I'm not even where they're at, and I go, that thing's right center all the way. It's going to go left, and they miss it left, and they both look at each other like, right. And so, going back to,
go with the Ben Hogan.
Speed of play. It's like they almost got too much information now.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, how much of it is just. Because I know there's a big portion of the game that is mental. Like if you're having a rough round and it just starts to get to your head, it can just screw you up for the rest of the day. But how much of that is just, like you said, Joe, just guys just trying to process way too much information when a lot of times they just need to go up and just hit the ball?
Well, there's two types of players out there. There's the ones that need all that information and are searching for it. Mm-hmm. And the other ones are, they just count on the caddy. Give me the yardage. Tell me what to hit. And there, there are just like there are super smart people and super dumb. Just, some people are smarter and they want all that.
Yeah.
It helps them. But there are other
people. Well, yeah, some of them, they think it helps them, and some of them, I think it hurts them.
Yeah, that's right.
I watched, there was a good example, one of the best players in the state champion. Mm-hmm. When she came on the scene as a seventh grader, she's playing in college now, but when she came on the scene as a seventh grader, she's the best putter I've ever seen. Okay. By the time she graduated as a senior, she was, ugh. And she was doing this aim point system and this and that and that. She had lost all of her natural feel. Her stroke had gone from something that was just elegant and it was just gorgeous to just like manufactured wish. And so I would say that, it helps some people, it hurts some people.
Yeah, but it happens when you lose some of that success. You don't know how you got there. So I get it. And you got to be a little technical from,
sure.
But sometimes if you've gone too far, you got to, and I teach enough putting and, there's two types of putters. There's,
analytical.
It's people that can see a line and people that can't. So if you're playing in a scramble, some people have the ability to see the curve. Some people can't. So if you're saying they aim to that spot, well, they see the curve and they always miss it high because they've psychologically putted enough in their life that they're going to hit that spot with the break. They don't even know that they're aiming their putter to include the break, for example. Then there's other people. So those are people that they need to aim at a spot in the hole. So like where it's going to fall in.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a big right to left or that breaks 6-8 inches, they just, look, put it on 90 degrees on the hole. Yeah, but
I like the Ben Hogan thought. Play it straight and see if you get it on the right jerk. You know, the over analysis is become big time. And so, like I said, the biggest effect is people that aren't very good that try to act like these guys on TV or gals.
Correct.
So if you guys are playing and you've got a caddy with you and you get to the green and you're, 10, 11 feet away from the green and it's got, it's a little bit of, it's kind of tricky. Are you guys, you two specifically, mm-hmm. are you guys two guys that will just, hey, your caddy just tells you where to go with it and you just roll with that? Or do you want to think too much or really make sure you get it exactly right?
I don't really use a caddy much for reading putts. Because he doesn't know how fast. I go with the Jack Nicklaus thing because he doesn't know how fast I'm going to hit it. Because
mm-hmm.
depending how fast you're going to play the putt is how much break you're going to play.
Well, sure. I don't
use a caddy much.
I'm looking at the green from 50 yards away.
Absolutely.
I'm already starting to process it. So I don't just get up there and then have to start over and it takes me a minute and a half. I get on the green, and I'm also, you're aware of your other balls, but you're trying to walk and feel the green. But from 50 yards, you can see a lot on that green that you can't see.
By the time you get there, you're already. I go, okay,
it's 6 inches above the hole, so I know it's downhill, and then I just try and find what I call the water line. If you drop water, it would go straight north, south, whatever that is. Well, then you just kind of do a little clock, all right? Well, it's a little downhill.
Read the green from the fairway is the biggest thing. Because you want to trust your macro. Feet. Yeah, sure. And then trust your feet.
Because we walk on, we're blessed. All of our surfaces are completely flat. And if it's just off, go to an old cabin or something. You can tell by your feet.
I've learned a lot from you guys in the last 10 minutes.
We got the Manny Project. Well,
hey, get up to Lake Superior and play Superior National. Check out some of Jeffrey Brower's courses. And Como, of course. Thanks for Don for being on. Another good week. And we will be back with Cheyenne Woods next week. And we will be the first people that will not bring up Tiger Woods
sushi.
When we talk to her.
KYOTO in Roseville. That's right. The all-you-can-eat sushi.
Tea time. Thanks a lot.